opportunity to come together and to worship you. Help us to focus on you, to see the good things that you have for us, to trust in your care and your love for us. Thank you for this dear group of people who love you and want to worship you and want to know you better. And I just pray that you would bless this time, make an encouragement to each of us to be with Aaron as he speaks from your word. And bless Jaron and Samantha as they make this bold step declaring their faith before this group of people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Mo, you're on.
Okay.
Or whatever you want.
Okay. Here you go, Doug.
He called me Doug. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the Lord, the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith. To another and to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. 1 Corinthians 12, 1-11.
That was enriching. Gifts of the Spirit, if you haven't figured already. There are a lot of passages in the Bible that kind of talk about the gifts of the Spirit. And I want to start with a disclaimer. My formative Christian years were in a very charismatic, nigh Pentecostal assembly of God. And so gifts of the Spirit are talked about a lot, in a we've got it all figured out kind of way, because there are 7 or maybe 9 of them, depending on the translation and verses you use, and they're given for specific reasons, specific persons. They're for today, for all of them. And then I spent a small amount of my time in a Baptist church, which emphatically said that the gifts of the Spirit, while they were still 7 or 9 of them, were given for a very specific time in history, and they don't exist at all anymore. And so I've been everywhere in between in the theologies and the beliefs about what the gifts of the Spirit are. And so I tried my hardest during this sermon prep to kind of table what I thought I knew about any of this stuff and just let the scripture tell me what it was all about. And I learned some pretty cool things. But I want to go back to the passage we read at the beginning, and I'm actually going to read 3 passages that are kind of core to gifts of the Spirit, kind of what they're about, why they exist, and then we're going to break down into the sermon part. So we're going to be really heavy on reading at the beginning, because I have to fill your tank with the word so we can pull from that and kind of talk about it. So I want to go back to the beginning. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to these several different spiritual gifts, all coming from the same Spirit. I'm going to fly by this because we've already read it together. I want to look at verse 7 very briefly right there. Spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. We're going to remember that. And then I want to look at verse 11, so it's the next slide. He gives someone else the ability... There, it's the last one. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. I want to call that out, because when we read through these passages that talk about gifts of the Spirit, we tend to zone in to the gifts themselves. I was a huge fan of the music singer Carmen when I was a kid. I went to several of his concerts. He was very divisive because, again, he was very charismatic Pentecostal, and there were a lot of Christians who didn't particularly like that. But I learned the gifts of the Spirit from Carmen songs. Like, I actually have them memorized because he ran the discernment, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, faith, wisdom, knowledge, healing, miracles. Yeah, those are great. But I memorized them, so in my head I always had that this is the list. But there's some important teaching in this passage about the gifts that we tend to kind of scoop over because we're looking at the gifts themselves. We'll come back to the gifts, but I wanted to call out those two parts. I also want to look at Romans. I hope we have Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Awesome.
Of course we have Romans.
Thank you. Yeah, we almost can't have a sermon without Romans. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. Okay, Dan, I'm listening to my own sermon. And if you have the gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. It's Romans 12, 6 through 8. And there's one other passage I want to throw by you, and then we'll kind of jump in. This is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. So there's five of them there. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So, from these passages, we've already learned a bunch about gifts of the Spirit, and I'm just going to read through some of the kind of the highlights. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts. These will all be like, duh, why are you even saying them? But it's worth calling them out. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts. The gifts come from the Spirit of God. Hence, spiritual gifts. Is that God calling? So the gifts come from the Spirit of God. Hence, spiritual gifts. Oh, that's my mom. Wee. The gift of the silent switch. The gifts are for the benefit of others. And we'll talk a little bit more about this. But you see in these passages this kind of theme going on. You also learn from the passages we read that we all get a spiritual gift. At least one. And then the gifts are supposed to be used. So what are the gifts? So I sat down, I went online, I looked a bunch of places, and it is hilarious. The lack of consistency as far as how many spiritual gifts are and what they are. Because from the passages we just read, those three sections of scripture, there are 18 listed. If you don't account for the overlap of the ones that are mentioned more than once. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, interpretation of tongues, serving others, teaching, encouragement, giving, leadership, kindness, apostles, evangelists, pastors. So these are 18 gifts. I'm like, okay, that sounds like an exhaustive list. But when you read carefully through the Bible and you see where the Spirit of God is at work and the giftings that he gives people, that list gets very big very, very quickly. Because you begin to see things like the gift of mercy, gift of grace, steadfastness, intercession, hospitality, celibacy. These are all called gifts of the Spirit of God. In fact, if you look at 1 Peter 4:10, it says that God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. The King James says, manifold grace of God, the many graces of God. So that would seem to indicate, when we're looking at these lists of gifts, that it's not intended to be exhaustive, but rather instructive about what to do with them, rather than this is the sum total of the gifts that are available from the Spirit of God to you. So I wanted to read a little bit more of that passage in 1 Peter, so I'm going to read it to you. It's 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts, each of you. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. So that brings us to the question as to why these gifts are given in the first place, what their purpose is. And from the passages that we've read alone, here's the 7 things that I pulled out of it already. To bring glory to God. Serving one another. To function as one body. Unity. To give testimony that Jesus is Lord. Apparently God liked that one. Helping each other. To equip God's people for the work of the ministry. And to build up the church. Do you sense a theme in these reasons? As the uncle of a famed man of spiders once pontificated, with great power comes great responsibility. Gifts aren't for personal glory. They have a purpose, and you aren't it. The gifts are for helping and building the church to function as a unified and healthy body so that we can do the work that we're called to do, thereby bringing glory to God. So I want to say that again because I took all of these things from 1 Peter, Romans, Corinthians, Ephesians, all these different places, and my working definition of why these gifts exist is this. Gifts are for helping and building the church to function as a unified and healthy body of Christ so that we can do the work that we're called to do, thereby bringing glory to God. But beyond this, there will be dragons. And I've mentioned this before. You're not allowed to answer because you were the one who answered last time and you had the answer, so I know you know the answer. Why were Adam and Eve kicked out of the garden? Do you remember why? Typically we think that's because they sinned, but that's not why they were kicked out. They were kicked out because God didn't want them to eat from the tree of life and live forever. That's fascinating to me, because in my brain I'm like, oh yeah, you sinned, you screwed up, you're out. But that's not why he kicked them out. He kicked them out because he didn't want them to eat from that tree and get another blessing. It says in Genesis 3, 22 and 23, what if they reach out and take the fruit of the tree of life and eat it? Then they will live forever. So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden. And look at the Tower of Babel, or Babel if you prefer. Why did God confuse their language? Genesis 11, verses 6 through 7. Look, he said, the people are united. This is a good thing, right? We were just reading about how God wants us to be one. The people are united, and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. That blows my mind. That blows my mind. God says of these people who are united away from God's purposes that they will be able to do anything. Nothing will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse the people with different languages. They won't be able to understand each other. Or you look at Saul, or Abraham, or Samson, or Balaam, and many, many others in the Bible. And these lives include some very powerful cautionary tales that beg kind of a reckoning because In Romans 11:29, it says, "For the gifts of and the call can never, sorry, for God's gifts and call can never be withdrawn." Romans 11:29, "For God's gifts and call can never be withdrawn." So you look at the Garden of Eden and the reason they're kicked out, God could have just simply killed the tree of life or changed its function so it no longer affected them. Changed the rules, like, now if you eat it, you just get a tummy ache or something. No, the tree still did exactly what God purposed it to do. His gift was exactly the way he intended it to. And it was a grace to take them away from it because his gift became a means of destruction for them because of sin in their lives. Same thing with the Tower of Babel. Babel. Unity is something that God asks and requires of us. And we see a very powerful example of what can happen when that is achieved. But when it's achieved outside of God's grace, it is a weapon of destruction for us. And it is a grace of God to remove us from the ability to use that. So the blessing of unity wasn't destroyed by God. God didn't just say, okay, well, now if you're unified, you'll just have a lesser effect. Unity still has power. God's gifts and his calling can never be withdrawn. And again, those cautionary tales, you look at Saul, Abraham, Samson, all these people who had gifts and callings, and then you watch the story of their life and they get a big head about it. Or they just choose to completely ignore what God had called them to do. And time again, you see that the use of God's gifts for their own edification, their own glory, ends up causing massive destruction. And it's a grace of God that he steps in and meddles with them to keep them from utterly destroying themselves. God's gifts and call can never be withdrawn. And if we choose to use them for our own personal gain, well, God loves you too much to allow you to do that and so utterly destroy yourself. And so you may find yourself fighting God directly because he loves you too much to allow his gifts to be used for your own demise. Okay, really, last point. God knows what he's doing. In James, we sing the song, we know the song, I love the song. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Good and perfect. These are how God's gifts are described. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm tempted to look at someone else's gift and say, "Oh, now there's a good gift." But when I look at myself, maybe I feel like a get dealt a bum hand. If you've ever seen The Lord of the Rings, it's like Samwise Gamgee watching these daggers being handed out to his friends, and he gets this rope. And he's like, "Paul, can I have a dagger instead?" God's gifts to you are perfect. See, there's a spectrum in Christianity that my wife falls on one side of and I fall on the other, so it's a grace of God that we're married to each other. Because I err on the side of, "Hey, these gifts are cool. These are mine. I'm going to do some awesome stuff with this. Blah, 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 blah. Destruction. Smite." That is my bend. And I have to be careful about that because I know, but I know, there's another aspect and a side of Christianity which is not in my makeup, but it is in my wife's makeup, which is, "I don't think I'm enough for this. I don't think I've got this. I'm probably not the person for this. I don't have the strength for this. I don't have the skills for this." So there, we are, and if you self-assess, you'll probably find yourself on that scale unhealthily in one side or the other. And I want to recognize that. So what I want to say to you, specifically, who are bent more in the, "I'll point to somebody else and say their gift's good, I'm just going to support them and what they do," that God's gifts to you are perfect. and good. In the passage we read at the beginning, it says, "It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have." That's in that 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11 that we read off at the beginning. But I want to keep reading to you that passage. It's not up on the screen. Here's what happens after he says that. "The human body has many parts. Some of them are hilarious. But the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we've all been..." I auto-corrected to padded, so I don't know what that word is. It's like padded. "We've all been grafted. We're all part of one body by one Spirit. And we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, 'I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand,' I am not gifted to help the church do anything because I can't preach. I'm not gifted to help the church do anything because I can't sing." That does not make it any less part of a body. "And if the ear says, 'I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye,' would that make it any less a part of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' Meaning that the eye can only say to the hand, 'I need you.' The head can't say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' I need you. I need the gifts that God has given specifically to you. You're not only gifted, but you're called to use and to tend to the gifts that God has given you." Could I get Romans chapter 12, 6 through 8 back here? "In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well." For doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. This isn't just doing, this is tending to the gift that God has given you. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. Don't just give generously. That word is hilarious. Like, literally, the word generous is hilarious. That's what it means. Give hilariously. If God has given you leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. You're not only gifted, you are called to use and to tend to your gifts. So I want to leave you with an encouragement that Paul gave to Timothy. Until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. Paul is telling Timothy to use the gifts that God has given him. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you receive through prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church lay their hands on you. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone will see your progress. I know we're going to do a question and answer, but I want to pray for us before we do that. God, I pray you help us to hear your voice in this, in your truth, which is not only did you lovingly create us when we were still in our mother's wombs, but you are in love with us, and you have this epic story that you have written and that you know. And that you are walking alongside of us as we live in this life, and we don't know what's on the next page. But what we do know is that you wrote it, and that you love us, and that you have given us good and perfect gifts, and that you have placed us in this body, in this time, in this world, exactly where you wanted us to be. Help us, Lord Jesus, to find the courage to be what you created us to be and to do what we were created to do. God, we need each other. Give us strength, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Yeah, we do.
Sprinters, marathoners.
No, don't go there.
Slow, calm walkers. All right, so the first question I have is, what is the worst gift you've ever received? The worst gift. Raise your hand and we'll have one of our mic walkers approach. Steve.
When I was about 12, started playing the guitar, and my parents got this brilliant idea of giving me a banjo for Christmas. And I looked at that and could not mitigate the dismay on my face.
It's okay, you could torture them with it. Debbie.
So I agreed to lead one of the Walk to Emmaus events, and I was given at this bell to lead the walk with, and they traditionally kind of dress them up and give them to you. And the guy in charge of the men's kitchen was a little weird and did this roadkill cafe thing. So I literally got this bell covered with slimy, smelly chicken goo. Yeah, that was my gift.
When Richard and I were dating, one time he brought me a brown paper sack, and it had in it a crab.
What, you don't like crab?
Oh, I wanted to keep the mystery. Next time he gave you a lobster. Russ.
When I was like 8, my grandmother, my dearly departed grandmother now, but she was kind of weird, kind of runs in the family. But I was 8 years old, and for my birthday, she sent me in the mail a wicker bowl, like about the size of, it would fit on this table, like a decoration, and a cheese slicer. And I was 8. And I'm like, what? Nice.
All right, we'll take a couple more before we move on to the next question. Yeah, right. We have a mic. Yeah. Go ahead, Laura.
I was dating this fellow, and he thought he was going to give me this grand gift. It wasn't Easter. It wasn't a special holiday, but he wanted to give me this super. He kept building it up. So he brought it to me, and it was in this big box. It's like 3 feet high, 3 or 4 feet high. It was a giant ceramic rabbit that had hyperthyroidism. The eyeballs were sticking out. Yes, it was Dan. And the teeth hung down past the chin. It was like somebody's nightmare of a rabbit. It's one of those things where you open it up and you go, oh. And he's like, he was all excited about it. He didn't even bother looking at my face. But my face registered that for a long time.
And I finally said, let me put this in a really good place. And I stuck it back in the closet in my bedroom. Yeah, that was horrific. I donated it to some, you know, to a good cause. To scare somebody else when you open the closet door. Yeah.
Thank you. All right, we'll do Marie.
I compete with Peacock.
In high school, I had this friend that I was exchanging Christmas gifts with, and I got her, I think it was like earmuffs that doubled as headphones, like something very thoughtful. And like I remember like, oh man, she's gonna love this. And she forgot to get me something, so she gave me her sunglasses.
In December. Oh my gosh. Okay. We will move on to our next question now. And that is, I remember, I didn't look at my phone. Wait, no, I remember it. Name an instance where you have seen another person utilize their spiritual gift in your life or someone close to you. Or have you seen someone use their spiritual gift? No.
I saw once this woman, it was kind of the first instance I'd seen the gift of like administration, like this logistical, very good at planning kind of thing, and really like seen it actively, because she got so much joy from organizing things and putting things on and making sure I's were dotted and T's were crossed. And I really marveled at that, mainly because I didn't understand how you could get joy from that. It stressed me out. But I was really in awe of the way that God had moved in that woman's life to give her this gift that's super useful and valuable, but also she was helping out with a wedding, and like the way that she was like, the best way I can be involved in this wedding is let it go off without a hitch. Like, I thought that was super cool.
Awesome. Yeah, right
there. I had a friend growing up that I thought could preach pretty good, and this friend got extremely busy with life, insanely busy, perhaps, with six crazy children. And I've seen him come home extremely tired from working a hard job and pull together a pretty amazing sermon.
But not today.
You have the gift of sarcasm.
That one's doled out rather liberally.
Yeah. I would have to say my mother. She is very good at encouraging other people. I can't count the number of times growing up that I watched her pull someone up from utter despair to weeping in joy at feeling hope again. And it's really ironic because she herself is very self-critical. She can encourage everybody else but herself. And she's always so humble about it too. She's like, no, that's not me. That's all God. I'm just talking. And awesome to see.
David.
I was a kid. I don't recall exactly how old I was. It was maybe somewhere between 8 and 10. But my little sister couldn't eat anything. And she'd been sent to several doctors, and they couldn't help. But she wouldn't get anything down. And my great-grandmother prayed, and then she told, my parents, who were my mom and my stepfather at the time, she says, I talked to God, and God told me you need to take that child to Dr. Growy. Now, Dr. Growy actually was my pediatrician when I was a kid for quite a while. And Dr. Graham was able to immediately fix the problem. He found that she had apparently somehow gotten a sand spur underneath her her tongue. And that was what was causing her to not be able to eat or keep anything down. And Dr. Growey was asked, how was it that you were able to find the problem and fix it when, you know, so many other doctors couldn't do anything? Dr. Growey said, I used to be a veterinarian for large animals, and cows have this sort of problem all the time. So, you know, Grandma Ida's gift, my great-grandmother, I guess, would be that she frequently talked to God, and God gave her specific instructions. Awesome. And in this case, God's instructions were right on.
Wow. That's good. Thank you, David. Over there in the back.
So, Boogie used to, for our birthdays, me, Grant, and Chris, used to throw these video game parties, and for our favorite video game of the time, Unreal Tournament 2004. And now what I do for my job is video game ministry, trying to replicate what Boogie did for us as kids, for other kids. And I didn't realize all the spiritual gifts that Boogie was practicing at the time, but now that I do video game ministry, I can tell you it's patience, organization, kindness, and you know, just, it takes a special person to hang out with 13-year-old boys for 6+ hours. And having an adult put so much effort into what you care about when you're a 13-year-old boy has, I can't measure that impact that had on my life.
Absolutely. I second that. And Boogie's other spiritual gift is nerding out.
Yeah, it's true.
Is Beth. I'm gonna let David and Boogie have a moment. Beth, this kind of goes in the vein of what Mo was saying. She has this gift of organization, but also decoration, and she sees things that I do not see. And I see her decorate wedding after wedding, and she's this female MacGyver type, and you can give her like a package of odor eaters and a box of Q-tips, and she makes that whole place look like the Taj Mahal. And so when we came here to decorate Mo and David's wedding reception, I was just kind of dreading it because it's not my gift. And she came breezing through and just made everything look beautiful by like tipping tables and putting a lighted plant in the middle of the table. And I would have, if she described it to me, I would have thought it was weird, but it looked gorgeous. So I very much appreciate Beth's gifts.
Right, at this point, I think we're going to close in prayer and get to some dunking of children and call it a day. So, let's pray. Thank you, God, for this time together. Thank you for this church. Thank you for just providing your grace for us and giving us this chance and giving us these spiritual gifts that we can see in others and we can just learn about and ourselves to God. I pray that you'll guide us to use them in ways that honor you, and that we'll just continue to serve you, and that you will build us up to share your word in your ministry. Thank you for this time, Lord Jesus. In your name, amen.